Please be seated and turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to John's Gospel, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible your own, you can use one of the pew Bibles found in the pew rack in front of you. You can find this on page 896. As Pastor Barclay is away this Sunday, we are taking a break from the book of Hebrews, as you can tell, and we'll be looking at John chapter 10 this morning, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So read and please hear the Word of God, John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1 through verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Would you please pray with me before we dive in? God, we pray that you would help us to see the great shepherd this morning. Would we hear your voice and draw near? Lord, we ask for your help to believe and to grow into our belief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As reading this passage, you will probably recognize, even if you've not read this passage personally before, that it's a well-known sort of biblical use of language to talk about the shepherd and to talk about the sheep. Sometimes you may hear pastors just speak sort of generically about the sheep and feeding the sheep and so on. And the church has used this language throughout her history, and we receive that language and we accept it. But we do that, and I'm guessing for many of you who live here in the Charlotte area, probably do so without much personal experience with sheep. So I think it's helpful for us to pause and ask the question, what does it mean when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd? He's not just any shepherd, but the good shepherd. What is he telling us when he tells us that? Well, that's what I want us to ponder this morning and consider as we look at this passage where Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. But before we answer that question, I do want to give us a little context as to what brings us, since we're not going through the Gospel of John right now, what brings us to this passage in John's Gospel. Well, in the previous chapter, in John chapter 9, There was a blind man who was healed by Jesus so that he could see. And it was done on the Sabbath day. And believe it or not, the Pharisees are not happy about this. They're upset that Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees refuse to believe in Jesus. They're so angry, in fact, at Jesus that they take the man who was healed, the blind man who was healed, and they throw him out of the synagogue. Chapter 9 and verse 34. What this means is they basically excommunicated him. They cut him off from the people of God. Can you imagine somebody coming into church here on Sunday morning, having been healed by Jesus, and the church is so mad at Jesus about it that we kick them out? You are not welcome to the Lord's table. You must leave this building. That's what the Pharisees did to this man. What's interesting, and in particular about our passage, is not so much about the blind man and his trials and difficulties there, but after he's excommunicated, kicked out of the synagogue, Jesus seeks him out. Jesus goes after him personally. He does what a shepherd does when a sheep is far apart, when a sheep is on his own. He's showing us before he tells us that he is the good shepherd. And when Jesus goes to find this man, what he doesn't do is he doesn't, you know, rile him up so that he gets, you know, angry and the testosterone just comes up and he's ready to go to war with the Pharisees. That's not what happens. But he comes to the man and he presses a question upon this man. And it's a question you may not expect. In chapter 9 and verse 35, he says, the man who was healed, do you believe in the Son of Man? It's not, can you believe the Pharisees? It's, do you believe the Son of Man? In chapter 9 and verse 38, the man believes. And what happens? A sheep enters into Jesus' sheepfold. When the wolves come, the good shepherd does not run away. The worthless shepherd does. That's what the Pharisees do. But the good shepherd does not run. So what does it mean to be a shepherd? Again, 2021, I'm guessing not so many of you have sheep pens in your backyard. If you're anything like me, until I actually met a sheep, I had a very sort of cute and cuddly idea of what sheep are and what a shepherd does. Sheep are soft and cuddly and warm, and you give them big hugs and they cheer you up. And the shepherd, what a life. He gets to walk around with a big stick and he gets fresh air all day long. That was my idea of what a shepherd does until I met a sheep. I never realized how tough shepherds had to be. Of course, they have to defend their sheep from external threat. Sheep are easy prey to predators. And for instance, we hear the story of David and Goliath, and David is prepared to fight this giant Goliath. And what was his training? He wasn't a Navy SEAL. He didn't go to Paris Island. No, he was a shepherd. He fought off lions and bears in order to defend his sheep. What is Goliath compared to this lion trying to eat my sheep? But it's not just the outer threats that shepherds must defend their sheep from. Shepherds also must defend the sheep from themselves. The sheep. There's stories and movies, I've seen one where an entire herd of sheep will plummet off of a cliff because the first one goes off a cliff, not knowing where it goes, and all the rest follow. It's not just in stories, but that has happened in real life where sheep blindly follow the sheep leading him, which plummets them to their deaths. Shepherd needs to stand there and say, you're not going there, no matter how much you want to. Another instance is Sheep are also can be mean and aggressive. Again, the first time I met a sheep, it attacked my wife. And the sheep's owner, with a big boot on his foot, took his leg and repeatedly kicked the sheep in the face. That was how the sheep left my wife alone. And the sheep was fine. Bottom line, though, is being a shepherd is it's dangerous. It's difficult. And you have to be tough. You have to be tough. And God sends us a good shepherd, a true shepherd, to lead his people. One who will seek out and find and bring his sheep into safety. And he protects his sheep. Did you know you are the sheep? The ones that maybe need to be kicked in the face sometimes, proverbially. We need a shepherd. And God's given us a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who stands above. So in our verses this morning, Jesus is teaching us about his ministry by comparing himself, the good shepherd, with false shepherds. And I want us to consider both the good shepherd and the false shepherds. And first, we're going to look at the qualities, the three qualities that Jesus shows us of a good shepherd, of the good shepherd. The first is that the good shepherd owns his sheep. And we see Jesus owns his sheep. Look at verse 1. It tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door climbs, but in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Jesus is saying he's the owner and the others are thieves and robbers. And then verses 2-4, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Jesus is showing us that the true shepherd has a right to his sheep. He has a right to his sheep. And Jesus is emphasizing that he has a right to you. If you're a believer in Christ, he has a right to you. He has a right to us. As this relationship is the reason for everything he does for his sheep, which is much. He is the owner. They are his people. And because of that, they are precious to Jesus. My dear friends, if you are a Christian, you belong not to yourself, but you belong to Jesus Christ. And he loves you. You are precious to him. You may wonder, well, I don't belong to anybody. Well, if you're in Christ, we are his. Three reasons. One, Christ is the one who made us. He's our creator. Without him, John 1, verse 3, without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that we have is made because of Jesus. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. It tells us multiple times in this chapter, chapter 10, verse 11, for example, he lays down his life for his sheep. You know when he does that, right? When he goes to the cross, he lays down his life. He gives his life so that we can be purchased for God by his death. You've been bought with a price. You've been made by him, been redeemed by him, and ultimately you're a gift. We belong to Jesus and no one else because the Father has given us to the Son. We are a gift as a church from the Father to the Son. In John chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus says, "My Father who has given them to me," speaking of the sheep, "is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." So Jesus owns his sheep. The good shepherd owns his sheep. The second quality of a good shepherd is that we see in Jesus that he knows his sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. Look at verse 5. It says this, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And then verse 3 says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. They follow him. He calls them by name. When you know somebody, you call them by name. Ben, my brother Ben. That's when I know that you know me. Back in the ancient world, there would be sheep pens that could have be used by a whole village, sort of like we might have a community garden now, where some people might plant tomatoes over here and you plant something else over there and you all kind of have access to it. And the shepherds would come in from the fields at nighttime and bring their sheep to sleep, and they would take them to this community pen in order to be in a safe and secure place. And where this community pen would be, there would be many different flocks of sheep. Not just one, but there'd be various flocks of sheep. And at the gate, there'd be just one entrance. And at the gate, there'd be somebody whose job it was his pay. That's what he was paid to do, would be the gatekeeper. He would be the one to stand in front of this sheep pen. So he's like a security guard there and making sure that only the right person, the right shepherd would come, and the right shepherds would have access to their sheep. And so when Jesus speaks in verse 3 about the gatekeeper, that's kind of the picture he's giving us, that there are perhaps other sheep there, but the gatekeeper knows Jesus. He knows that Jesus is not a thief or a scoundrel. He knows that Jesus would never lie to you or betray you. And so Jesus comes, and though there may be multiple flocks, if you hold on to that analogy for a while, when Jesus speaks, his sheep will recognize his voice and follow him. Now, there's another kind of sheep pen, and Jesus uses that analogy here as well, where there's sheep pens out in the hills. The shepherd would be out, and he's too far away from any sort of community pen. And he might make a temporary sort of walls with rocks or wood or whatever is available. And of course, there'd be no gatekeeper there to pay and say, would you watch my sheep while I go off to sleep? And so what would happen is that the shepherd would build this temporary place, pen for his sheep. And then at the door, the shepherd himself would lie down in front of it and make sure that there would be no intruders or that the sheep wouldn't get out and that sort of thing. Whether there are wolves or bears or lions or thieves, the shepherd would stand watch at the place of entering and leaving. Yeah. So we have both kinds of pictures in view. Verse 3 speaks of the first kind of sheep pen, the community one. The second is in view here as well. But there's really one point being made. It's that the shepherd knows his sheep. And knowing his sheep, the sheep know their shepherd. It seems strange to me that a sheep can know a shepherd. What do sheep know anyway? They walk off of cliffs. Well, it's interesting. When my family and I lived in England, we got to see lots of sheep at times, and I would go out and I knew there were multiple flocks. I couldn't tell one from another if there wasn't some spray paint. There'd be blue spray paint for this flock and red spray paint for that flock and that sort of thing. And that's how you would know they didn't belong to the same shepherd. But I've wondered, is it possible if they don't have spray paint, how do you know which sheep is yours? Can a simple sheep know one man from another man? What if all the shepherds dress alike? Well, it is true that sheep can know their shepherd. You can even go on YouTube and watch videos of this, where different people can come and try to call a flock of sheep to themselves, and they do not listen at all. They'll just continue grazing and doing whatever it is sheep do. But then the shepherd comes, and when the shepherd calls, the sheep stop, lift their head, and they start trotting towards the shepherd. until the true shepherd comes forward and calls them, the sheep will not follow. The sheep keep grazing. Jesus says in verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus starts speaking about the kind of knowledge the shepherd and the sheep have with one another by speaking in terms of the kind of relationship that God the Father and the Son have with one another. There's no more pure relationship than there is within the Godhead. No hiddenness. No conceit. The relationship between God the Father and God the Son is pure. And Jesus says this is the standard of love and knowledge that Jesus has for his own people. There's nothing hidden from our Savior. Nothing is hidden from Jesus. I hope you know that. It might sound comforting on one hand, but on the other hand, my first response is that if people know too much about me, I don't want you to know too much about me. We can be ashamed because we hide our sins, don't we? There are certain things that perhaps would be better if the world doesn't know about me. How many people do you really allow get to know you underneath the surface? How many people in your life really do know your heart? For some of you, it's maybe other more than others, but for most of you, it's probably not so many. Jesus knows what's in your heart. But instead of ridiculing you, instead of shaming you, it's his desire to bless you, to care for you. Now, whatever shame we may feel over our sin, that should lead us to Christ. Because he's the one who lays down his life for his sheep. He's the one who knows his sheep, and he loves them and he cares for them. What a blessing. What a glorious thing that we have in our Savior. There are times when we don't even understand ourselves. And yet Jesus understands you. And he longs that the world would come to know him in the same way that the Father and the Son know one another. And so as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, so Christ knows his sheep and his sheep know Christ. My friends, this is the very basic element of Christianity. To be known by Jesus and to know Jesus. It's not our behavior, but it's knowing Christ. And you see that the heart of Jesus' concern for you is what? Is that you know his voice. Jesus wants you to know his voice. There are times I think we need to pause and reflect on all that we do for the church. We'll say we do things for the Lord. We can give ourselves over to Christian service and completely drain ourselves. I've also seen men do this who no longer really see and speak with their wives anymore. I've got too much to do for the church. The church needs me. That's not bad. Of course, it's good to give yourselves over to the service of the church. Come to the workday, please. But whatever you do for the sake of the church or in the name of the Lord, whether it's Bible studies or even going to seminary or always being at the church whenever the doors are open, make sure it's not a substitute for knowing the Lord Jesus himself. Because that's what God wants, is that when you are born again, that you know him. And I think sometimes we can run away from God by just giving ourselves over to sort of busy work in the church. Again, that's not to denigrate the work that needs to be done in the church. There's much to do. But do you have communion with the Lord Jesus? That's primary. That's essential. John 17 and verse 3, Jesus prays before he goes to the cross. This is amazing. He's about to be killed, crucified. He's about to receive the full justice of God against sinners. And he prays. This is eternal life, that they, speaking of you, know the one only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus says, in this sense, he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus knows his sheep. Third quality of a good shepherd is that Jesus cares for his sheep. Jesus cares for his sheep. Everyone else in this passage, every other figure in John 10, is more interested in what they receive, what they get out of this whole shepherding business, than actually caring for the sheep. Then they don't care so much about the sheep themselves. Look at verses 12 and 13. You see, there's a hired hand, and you can see where his interest is. Verses 12 and 13, he says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. By contrast, Jesus says multiple times, I care for the sheep to such a degree that I will lay down my life. I will die for my sheep. Do you know this kind of care? Have you ever been cared for in such a way? If you do, you know this from Christ himself, then do you see how this teaches us how we need to have genuine care for one another? We need to, as ones who follow the voice of the shepherd, care for one another in the way that Jesus cares for us. It's interesting that the word shepherd is, the word pastor is basically another word for shepherd. That's basically what pastor means. And you can consider what a good pastor is. You don't have to start evaluating me now. You can wait until later, but a good pastor is one who cares for the members of Christ's body, the church, with great care. Sometimes we'll call pastors under shepherds. Why? Because Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one shepherd. And so he sends out his under shepherds, his pastors, points others to care for his flock in the same way that he cares for his flock. So we learn about a true pastor in this passage as well. What does a true pastor do? Well, first of all, a true pastor sees Jesus laying down his life for his sheep. Not for his own glory, which is interesting. Jesus doesn't lay down his life for his own glory. He lays down his life for the glory of the Father. And so we need to know not all pastors are good pastors. There are pastors who seek their own glory. And when trouble comes, they hurt you or abandon you. And when this happens, it leaves scars. So you may know, well, what makes a good pastor then? Well, first of all, I would say one who knows the voice of the good shepherd. The greatest compliment I ever received in my preaching is someone told me, I can tell you believe what you said. One who knows the voice of the good shepherd. One who understands grace. One who has experienced grace. But did you know you cannot experience the grace of Christ if you don't know, first of all, that you're a sinner? Did you know pastors are sinners too? And your pastors need prayer. That we keep running to Christ. Perhaps your pastors and elders are chief among them that find ourselves easily pulled to doing all the work that's required of the church, and our hearts can run dry of the knowledge and love of Christ, the communion of Christ. And further, a good pastor will lead the congregation not to himself, but to Christ. It is about he, not me. He is the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. I'm preaching this, of course, to myself. Preaching this also to anyone else who's considering ministry in the future. We have seminary students here. We have those who may desire and think, perhaps I could be a church officer someday. I pray for that. Do pray for your seminary students who are training for ministry. But ultimately, you need to know and you need to believe, and it needs to be at the bottom foundations of your heart. It doesn't matter how great a preacher you are or how eloquent you pray. If you're going to be a leader in the church, you need to love your sheep. You need to love your congregation. And if you can't do that, then you don't need to be in ministry. You don't need to pursue that calling. You need to grow, first of all, in your knowledge of Jesus. Jesus' care for his own. Again, verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate. The shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them out. This is a personal care. In verse 11, and then verse 15, and verse 17, and verse 18, all these verses, what does Jesus say? I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus cares to the point of giving up himself. Talk about a good shepherd. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus has for his people. Have you ever experienced this? A desire to draw near. Perhaps you've kept Christ at arm's length. You've kept yourself detached from Jesus. But if that's what you do, you will never know much of what is at the heart of the Savior. But for those who've drawn close to Jesus, know that he is a Savior who cares personally and with sacrifice for you. Jesus is the kind of shepherd who owns his sheep, who knows his sheep, and he cares for his sheep. I want to consider briefly the qualities of false shepherds. Jesus is drawing a comparison between himself and false shepherds throughout this passage. He nails home the point when he says, do not be fooled by false shepherds. Consider what they are called. He says in verses 1 and 8, they are called thieves and robbers. In verse 5, he calls them strangers. In verse 12, they are hired hands. These are all the opposite qualities that Jesus shows. Thieves do not own the sheep, they steal. Strangers do not know the sheep, they're strangers. And hired hands, why would they care for the sheep? They're just paid to be here for a few hours. These people, the thieves and strangers and hired hands, they want the sheep. They want the sheep, but they want them for their own purposes. They're counterfeit to Jesus. They're counterfeit to true under-shepherds. And my dear friends, you need to be aware that there are all sorts of people, there are all sorts of entities that are going to want to shepherd your lives. They're going to seek to manipulate you and direct you in different ways. This is a big pressure in modern life. So much of our culture is designed to lead you and direct you in ways that will ultimately destroy you. Tell me the good qualities of the last commercial you watched on TV. What do they want? They want you to buy something you don't need anyway. Or whatever the algorithm that's on your social media platform, what does that show you? Almost everything we see is to get us to buy things we don't need or think things that aren't our own thoughts and do things that perhaps we wouldn't naturally do on our own. You see, we are being shepherded one way or another. We're either being shepherded by the good shepherd or by some hired hand. Do you know who is leading you? Do you know where you are being led? What will the world tell you? We didn't read these verses, but 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 10 says there was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, Jesus has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? It's going back to the man in chapter 9. Jesus will respond to this in verse 25. He says, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not a part of my flock. Who is shepherding you? There's only one way to come. Verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See, the way into the sheep pen to become a part of Jesus' flock is by the way of the door, and Jesus is the door. We've seen already Jesus is the good shepherd who watches over the sheep. When the shepherd places him at the doorway, Jesus stands up and says, I am the door. Come to me, and I will lead you in. Come through that door, and you'll find safety with Jesus Christ. It may still be harm to you in this world, but why fear those who can take your life when you have the one who has given you eternal rewards in him? The way that those who are outside find their way in, if you want to know peace, if you want to know the Good Shepherd, to be known and loved with the care that only Christ can give, there is one way to come, and you're welcome to come, and I invite you to come. Come to Jesus. Call out upon him. Call out upon his name. A lot of people who are going to be pulling, grabbing for your trust. But Jesus is one you can trust. There's one way into his flock, coming to him, entering the fold by coming to him. My friends, who do you trust? Is there some other shepherd? Do you know that you are being shepherded? Do you know, is it the good shepherd? Or is it a hired hand? It's only the good shepherd cares for his sheep. Any other shepherd is counterfeit, cares only for themselves. If you don't know the shepherding ministry of Jesus, you can come to him. Come to him, for he is the door. And through him, you may enter. Would you pray with me? God, we ask for your help to believe. We ask for your help to really consider before ourselves. Do we know you in the way that you know your sheep? Would you fill our hearts and minds with the knowledge of your holy name this very morning? O Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work that in us, that we would know you, that we would rest knowing that you are, O Christ, the Good Shepherd. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.